Well, good evening, each and every one. It's good to see you in the house of God, and we're met here to worship our Saviour. We're met here to proclaim the name of Christ, and therefore we want to start off by singing the words of hymn 287. 287, Depth of Mercy, Can There Be Mercy Still Reserved For Me? A beautiful hymn that teaches us of the great depths of mercy. They're boundless, that our Saviour has for us. We'll stand together and sing the hymn 287 together. Hymn that is, and it teaches us of what a long-suffering God that we have. Verse number 2, I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. Perhaps before we are saved, we did not hearken the words of Christ. When we're saved, we still fall short of that mark that he has set. But yet, what depth of mercy this hymn talks about. Boundless mercy, endless mercy found in our God. But it does say that there will be a time when the mercy of God will run out. God's Spirit will not always strive with man. And therefore, we each and every one need to examine our lives, ensure that we are trusting alone in Christ for our salvation, and trusting that he will complete the work in us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's commit this service to the Lord. Almighty God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow humbly in thy presence. Lord, we can do no else. Yes, Lord, we come boldly to thy throne, but Lord, we only come boldly because of whose name we plead, the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, truly we come before thee recognizing that we are nothing, Lord, that we are nothing without thee.
We need thee for each and every aspect of our life, Lord. You're the one who gives us our very breath. Lord, therefore we come before thee, and Lord, we ask that you would bless us this evening. We ask that you would be one of our number this evening. Lord, we do pray that your Spirit would come down in a very real sense, Lord, that we would know your speaking voice tonight. Lord, I do pray that you would help us to fix our eyes on thee. Lord, we thank you for the words of this hymn that we have been singing, the great depths of the mercy of our God. Lord, we thank you that even as Paul could testify, the chief of sinners, you came to save. Lord, you can save the most wretched. You can save, Lord, those who are down in the gutter of sin. Lord, therefore, we return thee thanks. We praise you. We honour you. Lord, we extol your name for saving our souls. Lord, we thank you for each and every child of thine in here tonight that can say, I am redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord. We thank you that it's not by any merit of us that we are saved, not by anything good that we have done, but because of Christ and his perfect redemption. That redemption that he bought for us at Calvary, where he shed his own precious blood. Lord, we thank you for our Saviour. We thank you for his beautiful person. Lord, we do pray that you would help us to know more of him. Help us to love him more and more each day. And Lord, we do pray that in the service this evening, Lord, even that right across our land this evening, as the gospel message is set forth before men and women, that Jesus Christ would be exalted, that his name would be glorified, that his name would be the one set before sinners, set before the saved as well. Lord, that we would get a fresh view of him. Lord, a view that would thrill our hearts, a view that would thrill our souls. Lord, a view as well that would emblazon our hearts for thee, would spark greater love for thee each and every day. Lord, we thank you for the work here in Ballygowan. We do pray that you would continue to lead this church, continue to lead its people. Lord, for those unable to be with us this evening, for whatever reason it may be, Lord, we do ask that wherever they are found, that they would know the presence and the help of God. Lord, that you would speak to them. Give them a word in season this evening. Perhaps as they listen online, and for those who are listening online as well, Lord, we do ask, Lord, speak through thy word. We ask that tonight as we come to meditate upon thy word, to look at the gospel message once again, Lord, we pray that it would thrill our hearts and it would speak to sinners, especially, Lord, of their need of a Saviour. Lord, we do ask that you would be with each and every one gathered in here tonight. Lord, you know the need of each and every heart. You know perhaps the burden that each are carrying. You know the worries and the cares and the fears. Lord, I do pray that you would sustain each and every one of thy children tonight. And Lord, that above all, by the end of this service, if there is one not trusting in thee, that this would be the night they finally lay down their arms of rebellion. They finally realize what great sin they have sinned against thee. And Lord, they accept your invitation of mercy tonight. They realize the great depth of mercy that there is to be found in our God. Lord, we do ask that you would accomplish these things, not because of our much asking, not because there is any merit or any good in us, for Lord, there is none. But Lord, we ask that you would answer prayer tonight because of the one in whose name we come, because of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Lord and our Rock. Lord, because we come in his name, we ask that you would answer prayer. We ask all of these things in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing another hymn together, hymn 199, a wonderful gospel hymn that teaches us that God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. Never was there love like the love of Christ. John 3:16 is the words that this hymn is based on. God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. Let's all stand together while we sing the hymn 199. If you have a copy of God's Word with you, please turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Here we have one of the many parables of our Saviour. And in this parable, he is speaking of the marriage of the king's son. A wonderful parable it is. Matthew 22. And we want to read the first 14 verses of this chapter. It's good to pay attention to the Word of God every time we come to it, but especially so when we read the words of Christ. And these are the words of our Saviour. These are the words of the very Son of God who walked here on this earth, who bought our redemption. Therefore, let us pay particular attention to the words found here in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, in the verse number 1, it says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. This is the word of God, therefore receive it as such, as his inspired word, which is a blessing to each and every one of our hearts. I'm going to ask our brother, Mr. Bennison, if he'll come and give the announcements. Thank you.
We do welcome you again tonight in the Saviour's name. To those who are in the building, to those who are listening online, we do bid you a warm welcome and do trust that you will know the blessing of God as we listen to the preaching of the word. We do give another warm welcome to our preacher today, Mr. Jonathan Story. We're glad to have him with us. We enjoyed his ministry this morning, and we do trust that he'll know the help of God as he brings a message in the gospel this evening. Immediately at the end of the gospel service, we will be holding the communion service, and we trust that you will join with us, that you will remain and partake of the Lord's Supper. If you're saved, born again, you're welcome to attend this service. The offering baskets are at the exit doors as you leave this evening. Just some announcements regarding the meetings for the incoming week. Tomorrow morning, 10:30, Mother and Toddlers Group recommences. Wednesday at 8 p.m, Bible study and prayer meeting. And the Reverend Murray will be along to take charge of that meeting and bring a word to us. Saturday evening, 7:30, the Youth Reach recommences on a bi-weekly basis. The speaker, Mr. Danny Roberts, Pizza Night and Tuck Shop are available. So do remember that, please, young people. Next Lord's Day, the 2nd of October, at 10 a.m. the Sunday School, 11:30 a.m., 7 p.m., Mr. Aaron Fitzsimons, a licentiate of the presbytery, will be along to preach at both services, and each one of those will be preceded by the half hour of prayer, 11 and 6:30. Do also remember, as we announced this morning on the radio, Ulster morning service, next Lord's Day morning at 10:15, the service will be coming from our Clocker Valley Free Presbyterian Church. So remember to listen in, pray for the Reverend McIntyre as he preaches God's word. And then just a couple of advance announcements. The harvest service is Sunday the 9th of October, and then the Monday night service on Monday evening the 10th of October. We trust that you'll remember those services. And in relation to that, could we meet with the ladies immediately after the morning service next week, as we're planning to have some refreshments after the Monday night meeting. Commencement dates very quickly for other church works. The children's meeting will be meeting bi-weekly, commencing Tuesday the 4th of October. Just one change from what we said this morning. The Awana are also meeting bi-weekly, and they're changing their meeting also to a Tuesday night, so it's convenient for parents to remember. It's at one Monday one week, Tuesday another week. So Tuesday night will be the meeting for young or the children. One week it will be the children's meeting. The next Tuesday night it will be Awana. They will commence on Tuesday the 11th of October. And the Youth Fellowship, they're commencing on a one Sunday a month, and their first meeting will be held on Sunday the 16th of October after the evening service. I think those are all the announcements that we need to make at this time. I'm going to hand over the meeting again to Mr. Story. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Mr. Benison. For those of you who are perhaps not staying for the communion service, we will be finishing with a hymn. Please do stay for the first verse of that hymn, and then feel free, if you want to leave, you can feel free to leave, and I will go to the door. I'll meet you there. You don't have to talk to me if you don't want to, but we'll see you at the door on your way out. So we will give you that time to then leave the building. We're going to sing one more hymn before we come to study God's word this evening. 302, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Let's stand together and sing the hymn 302. Sing it out with a joyful heart.
Thank you.
Please take your Bibles and turn back to that chapter in Matthew 22. It deals with that great parable of the wedding feast. And truly, what a picture of the gospel it is that we have here. We want to study this passage just for a time tonight. Before we do, we'll come to our God in prayer. We'll ask for his help, ask for his blessing. We can't meet, we can't really do anything. As Christ said, "Ye are the vine," or "I am the vine, ye are the branches. And without me, ye can do nothing." We need his help, we need his Spirit. Therefore, let's each and every one, if you're a believer in here tonight, pray that his Spirit would move and pray that he would speak to our hearts. Our eternal God and our Father, Lord, we come before thee. We thank you for the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to man. Lord, poor creatures of the dust we are, but Lord, we thank you that you bestowed upon us such wondrous love. We can say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Lord, what a privilege, what a blessing it is. And therefore, as we come to look at thy word this evening, Lord, give us grace, give us help. Lord, we ask especially for help from on high of the Holy Ghost. We pray that he would come down into our building this evening, that he would speak to our hearts, that he would, Lord, use the words of man, write them upon the hearts of man. Lord, we ask that you would speak this evening thy word, and that it would be heard. We ask these things in the name of Christ, our Saviour and our God. Amen. On the 20th of July this year, Lauren and myself, we were married, and we've been thoroughly enjoying settling into married life. You have that, what they call that honeymoon phase. It's still there, don't worry, we haven't fallen out yet. It's been a great time, but God has been so good to us. And if you're married in here this evening, or perhaps you know anything about weddings, I'm sure that each and every one will know something about a wedding, you know that there's that initial thought of having an overwhelmingly massive list of things to do. And if you're the bride and you're planning, there are flowers to think about, there's who you want to take part, there's the bridesmaids' dresses, colour schemes, themes, receptions. Honestly, I didn't realise how much planning was involved until my fiancé took out her book, started going through the list, and then told me everything I needed to do. And then if you're the groom, you have the easy job. All you have to do is make sure that you've got your hair cut before the wedding, that you turn up in the suit that your bride has picked out for you, and you do exactly as you're told on that day. It's all exciting things, all exciting times. And I've been given some very good advice about marriage, and it is that you're to always have the last two words in any argument, and that is, "Yes, dear." And those are words that I've said many a time in the past 2 months of our marriage. But a wedding day, it's such a special occasion. A very special occasion, full of excitement, but also there is great solemnity on a day of marriage, because the vows are exchanged in the sight of God to be faithful to their spouse, to be faithful and loving to the spouse that God has given, until death separates the two. And this evening, in the passage that we have read, we see that there is a great wedding that is mentioned. That great parable that Christ gives to us, the wedding of the king's son. And in verse number 2, the Lord says that this is a parable given to us to illustrate the kingdom of God. Verse number 2, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." Now the king has begun the process of inviting all of his guests to the wedding. For most people, and I know for ourselves, we didn't have servants, we didn't have anyone that we could hire and go personally hand deliver each and every invitation out. We had to just pay for a second class stamp to get out to everyone. But this king, he spared no expense. He had the wedding invitation in the hands of his servants, handing each and every one of them to the guests. And what did this wedding invitation say? What was printed on this invitation? It says there in verse number 4, at the end of that verse, "All things are ready, come unto the marriage." Come unto the marriage. Very simple words. And in this parable, there are certain characters to illustrate certain people in this life. We have here the king that is mentioned. And the king is a great picture of God. We have the prince here mentioned, the son of the king. a great illustration of Christ. Then we have the guests that are invited to the wedding. They are a picture of everyone who hears the gospel. And then the final part of the illustration that I really want to focus our attention on this evening is that invitation that goes out. And what is the invitation? What is the application to our lives in the invitation? It's the gospel message. It's the news that Jesus Christ died to make a way of escape from our sin. It's the good news. And therefore, this evening, I want us to consider a personal wedding invitation. A personal wedding invitation. And we will be looking specifically at the three responses to that invitation here in the parable that Christ gives us in Matthew 22. Because first of all, if you see in verse number 3, there are those who reject the wedding invitation. Those who reject the wedding invitation. Verse number 3, it says there, the servants were sent forth. They bidded those that were bid to the wedding to come, but it says they would not come. These people received the invitation just like anyone else, but their response was to reject this invitation. Now that is a very unusual response to us, because I am sure that we all love getting invited to weddings. Everyone loves a free meal. It's not free for the one who's paying for it, but when you're there and you're a guest at a wedding, there's a free meal. What a wonderful thing it is. But more so than that, more so than just getting some food or getting whatever it may be at a wedding, this was a royal wedding. A royal wedding. The finest of food, the best of service would be on display at this wedding. And yet, these people, they still rejected the invitation. What a sad picture it is of those who continually reject the gospel. Christ has prepared everything, but yet you still reject him and reject his salvation. Notice in verse number 3 that it wasn't because they couldn't come, because there was something more important for them to do, or they had some other matter to attend to before they could come. No, what does verse 3 say? It says they would not come. They would not come. They had no reason to reject this great invitation, but yet they rejected it anyway. And I wonder, I ask the question to you this evening, is that the case in your life? Jeremiah 25 and verse 4, it says there, the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. Could those words be written over your life tonight? You have heard the gospel. We have in our hands God's revealed word to us. But yet you still are not listening. You're still not accepting his invitation. You're, as it were, taking that invitation, ripping it up, saying, I don't want to go to that royal wedding. What will it take for you to heed the voice of God this evening? More so than that, we see not only that they reject this great invitation, but it shows here in this parable the great patience that the king had. He didn't just send out one batch of servants, invite them once and that was it. We see that after they rejected the first invitation from the king, he sent out other servants to invite them again. Verse 4, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. The king was long-suffering. He persisted in inviting those who had already rejected his invitation. Romans 2 and verse 4, it teaches us there, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. I wonder, do you despise the long-suffering Lord? He has been patient. He has given you invitation after invitation to come to Christ. But yet, you're still rejecting him. He has presented you with every opportunity to repent of your sin and be saved. But I wonder, as you're gathered in here tonight in the service, can it still be said of you that you're out of Christ without a Saviour? Sadly, you have no hope. You have no refuge. Everything was prepared. All these guests had to do was come. Accept the invitation. The food was already there. It was waiting to be eaten. The table was set. Yet these people continued to reject the invitation. The same must be said of salvation tonight. Christ has provided all that we need in salvation. He has given unto us the gifts of faith and repentance. He has taken your punishment on the cross. He has made an atonement for your sin. All you must do now is come. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says there, "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." There's nothing more for you to pay, because, as the great hymn says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Our salvation has been purchased without silver, without gold. It has been redeemed and purchased for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, all things are ready for you to be saved. All things are ready for you now to be part of that great wedding that one day each and every child of God will be at. All things are prepared for you to be saved. Therefore, the Saviour gives you this invitation again. Come. What does he say in Matthew 11, verse 28? "Come unto me, all ye that labour under heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Hear the invitation this evening. It is for the whosoever will. Sadly, we read in verse number 5 of the attitude of those who rejected this great invitation. Verse number 5, it says there that some of them made light of it. They made light of it. They made fun of it. They laughed it off. Is that not the case with so many in the world today? They hear the name Jesus as nothing more than a curse word. They laugh it off. It's nothing to me. The gospel message that Jesus saves is not only rejected today, but men and women laugh it to scorn, as if it was nothing important to be invited to a royal wedding. This is the most important thing that you could ever do in your life. I guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, the most important thing you could ever do in your life is to accept the invitation of Jesus Christ. To know that your sins are forgiven. These people, in verse number 5, they found their work was far more important to them than being found at that wedding. Is that what perhaps is stopping you tonight from coming to the Lord? Your career, your work, these things are good. But these people, one said his farm was more important. Another said his merchandise was more important. What is more important to you this evening than knowing Christ as your Saviour? Than knowing the peace of God that passeth all understanding? These things, as I've said, they're good and proper, our work and our career, but their importance it pales in comparison to eternity and where you will be spending it. What happened to those that rejected the wedding invitation? We see there in verse number 7, the wrath of the king fell upon them. They rejected the invitation too many times. Their cities, their homes were destroyed. And if you are still rejecting this great invitation of Christ tonight, to come to him, to come and be found at the great wedding of the Lamb to his bride, then this will be your eternal reward, forever being punished in hell for your sin. 1 Peter 4 verse 17 tells us there, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, then what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" What shall be the end of those who obey not the gospel? What will their end be? Everlasting punishment in hell. That is the reality. It's a solemn and a sobering thing to realize. That is your destination if you're still rejecting Christ. Why is my question to you tonight? Why are you rejecting this invitation? Why keep on rejecting the Lord? Do you not want to be found at a great royal wedding? Do you not want to know the joy of having your sins forgiven, knowing that one day you will be in heaven with Christ forevermore? Do you not want to know the great riches found in Christ, as Ephesians 3 verse 8 tells us? Revelation 22 and the verse 17 gives us the last great gospel invitation. It says there, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I wonder this evening, tonight, perhaps you have been in gospel service after gospel service. You have heard the gospel perhaps more times than anyone else could ever hear the gospel. But tonight you're still rejecting Christ. Why not come to him tonight? Why not know his great salvation and the great joy that only Christ can bring? Will you finally stop rejecting this wedding invitation and come to Christ? And there are those that reject it. They're the first group of people. Secondly, there are those who accept the wedding invitation. Because in verse 9 and 10, we see those second groups of people. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out, they found the good and the bad, and they invited them into the wedding. Now there is something very interesting that connects these two groups of people, those that rejected the invitation and those who accepted the invitation. And it's found there at the end of verse number 8. It says, they which were bidden were not worthy. They which were bidden were not worthy. Those who rejected the wedding invitation were not even worthy of receiving the invitation. Yet they did. And likewise, those who were found at the wedding feast, they weren't worthy to be there either. Yet it was by the grace of the King that they were found at the wedding feast. And it's important that we realise this. No one deserves mercy. There's so many in our culture today, so many in society today, calling out for justice on this thing, for justice on this issue. I tell you tonight, if God was to give us justice, we would each and every one be found in hell. But yet, what did we sing of earlier? Depth of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Christ made us worthy to be invited to this great wedding. Christ made us worthy to attend this great wedding one day, as we will come to see. Verse number 10, it tells us that both the bad and the good were found at the wedding. Those who accepted the invitation and were found at the wedding feast, does that not have such great application for us in our lives? The Bible tells us in Revelation 7 verse 9, out of all nations and kindreds and people and tongue will be found in Christ. Those who walk on, if we like to call it, the dirty side of the broad road, guilty of the most heinous of crimes, can be saved. Paul himself, he called himself the chief of sinners, yet he became the chief apostle of Christ. What a wonderful testimony he had. And those who walk on perhaps the clean side of the broad road, morally upright people, they can be saved too. Nicodemus, a prime example of that in Scripture, he had to be born again, just like anyone else. What did Jesus say in Matthew 9 verse 13? I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And those who accept the wedding invitation, if you're a child of God in here tonight, that is you. You have accepted the great wedding invitation of Christ. Most commentators would agree that it was customary for the guests at the wedding to receive a wedding garment. Now, I know that my father-in-law did not pay for anyone's clothes apart from perhaps the bride's clothes and perhaps the mother of the bride and obviously his own suit. They didn't get a wedding garment at our wedding. But at this great wedding, the wedding garment was provided by the host, the king. Was royal attire that these people were displayed in. And this garment has great significance because it is a picture of the imputed righteousness of Christ. The perfect righteousness of Christ placed on us. who were not worthy of it. Dear child of God in here tonight, if you've accepted Christ, you have accepted Christ, he is your Saviour, he is your Lord, then the Bible tells us, as it says in Isaiah 61 verse 10, that you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, clothed in the garments of salvation, covered with the robe of righteousness. Just as we sang earlier in that hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. And the very last line of that hymn, Jesus, our righteousness. What wonderful words. What a blessed standing we have before Christ tonight. We are clothed in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, a key verse in all of Scripture. He hath made him to be sin for us, who, pardon me, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That great work of imputation has been done in your life, child of God, tonight. Your sin was nailed to the cross of Christ, never to be remembered, never to be brought up before thee again. And his righteousness was given to you, faultless one day to stand now before the Lord. What a wonderful standing it is. And you are as righteous now as you will ever be. There's no degrees of righteousness, because Christ's righteousness, it is a perfect righteousness. Yes, we long to be more holy, we long to be more conformed to the image of Christ, but we are as righteous today, as righteous now as we will ever be, because it's Christ's righteousness, and his righteousness alone. This is those who accept the wedding invitation. They are found at the wedding with the wedding garment on. Do you not want that in your life tonight? Do you not want to be at the great wedding feast one day, knowing that you're wearing the perfect righteousness of a perfect Saviour? There are those who reject the wedding invitation. There are those who accept the wedding invitation. And lastly, I want us to look at those who are deceived. Those who are deceived. Because we come now to verses 11 through to 13. Tells us of that guest that was found at the wedding feast, but he didn't have on the garment. They're a picture of those deceived into thinking that they are in Christ. Deceived into thinking that they have salvation, when in reality, they've never been saved at all. I'll be honest with you this evening. For years in my life, this was me. I believed that I was in Christ. I believed that I had salvation. I thought I was saved, but I didn't have on the garments of Christ and his righteousness. I made a false profession, trusted in words that I had said, not the work of Christ to save me. There is one way of salvation, and it is God's way. Turning from our sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The two T's of the gospel. All roads do not lead to heaven. All roads do not lead to God. But it is only through Christ that any one of us can be saved. John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And therefore I wonder and I ask you, examine your heart. Search your heart tonight. Are you deceived? Have you perhaps made a false profession? Do not cling to your words, but cling to the work of Christ. Notice the words there at the end of verse number 12. The question was asked, how did this man come into the wedding feast without a garment on? And this guest, he was speechless. Didn't have anything to say. On the great day of judgment, you will have nothing to say before the Lord. We will all stand before the Lord. Romans 14, it tells us that we will each give an account of the things that we have done here in this world. And if God has given you chance after chance to repent of your sin, to turn to him, but on that day, it will be too late. You will not have a case to present before Christ, the judge of the world. Why you never came to him? Why you never repented of your sin? Why you never trusted in him for salvation? That is why it is imperative that we know that we are wearing the garments of Christ and that we have on his perfect righteousness. Please turn with me, just in closing, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 contains truly what I believe is the most solemn words in all of Scripture. Matthew 7. We read of it in Matthew 22, where there is outer darkness, there is weeping, there is gnashing of teeth, that awful place of hell being described to us there. But in Matthew chapter 7, and the verse 21, listen to these words. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Solemn, solemn words. Honestly, in my opinion, the scariest verses that you will find in all of the Scriptures. I'm not giving them to you to scare you into salvation tonight, because that will be a false salvation. I am telling you these verses because on that day of judgment there will be those, perhaps, I trust not, but perhaps those here tonight that will cry out on that day to the Lord, believing that you've been saved, believing that you were trusting in Christ, but realizing that you had only a false profession. But they will hear those words. You will hear those words. Depart from me. I never knew you. Solemn words. I wonder this evening, are you one who only professes the Saviour but does not truly profess or possess the Saviour? Do you only profess the Saviour but not truly possess the Saviour? How can we know that we are saved then? How can we have that great assurance that the work of salvation has been accomplished in our lives? It is when we realize that salvation is not of works. It is a gift, lest any man should boast. It is given to us by our Heavenly Father. We can do nothing to work up salvation in this life. We can do nothing to work up repentance and faith in this life. It is a gift of God given to us and applied by the Holy Spirit. All we are called now to do is turn from our sin and trust in Jesus Christ. Therefore, I ask the question, which person are you tonight? Have you rejected the great invitation? Perhaps for years and years you've rejected the invitation to come to Christ. Why keep putting it off? I wonder tonight, will you continue to put it off, or will this very night be the night that you get right with God and realize that you are on your way to the great wedding of Christ to his bride? Have you accepted the invitation? Then, believer, child of God, rejoice. You have a wonderful standing. You are clothed in the garments of Christ's righteousness, and you will one day be at that great wedding feast as the bride of Christ, to forevermore be with the Saviour as we spoke of this morning. Or perhaps you're deceived, thinking that you're in Christ, but realizing when you truly analyse your life, there is no evidence, there is no fruit, there's no Christ in your life. Do not fear what man may say or think. I was in the same position. I'll be honest before you tonight. My biggest fear when I was in this position was, what will man think? What will my minister think? What will the congregation, the elders here, what will they think? I've professed Christ for many years. They are going to be so disappointed that I was never actually saved. I can assure you, there will be joy tonight if you come to Christ. Joy in the congregation. The Bible tells us joy in the presence of the angels. That does not mean that the angels are joyful, although they are. It says that there is joy in the presence of the angels. And who is in the presence of the angels? It's Jesus Christ, the one whom they worship. There's joy in Christ when a sinner repents of their sin and trusts in him for salvation. Will you tonight come to him? Finally accept that great wedding invitation and know that you are on your way to a home in heaven, knowing the joy of your sins being forgiven. Let's close in prayer. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, as we are stilled in thy presence, we do ask that you would continue to speak. Lord, speak to perhaps a heart that realizes that they are outside of thee. They have rejected thee time after time. They have rejected this great wedding invitation. Lord, I ask, open their eyes. Open their heart that they might see their need of a Saviour and trust in Christ alone. Lord, perhaps if there is one in here deceived this evening, clinging to a profession that they made, Lord, I ask, show them that it is only a gift of God that we are saved. It is only by grace that we're saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is a gift from thyself. Lord, we ask, speak to men and women's hearts. We ask all of these things in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll close with the words of the hymn 343. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. If you want to speak to us after, we'd be only more than happy to point you to the Saviour. Please don't leave without Christ tonight. Let's stand together and sing this hymn. And if you are not staying for the communion feast, then feel free to leave after the first verse.